Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Pierre-Philippe Chevigny. I'm the director of Rebel and I'm talking with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz.
Everyone, I have the absolute honor and the privilege of the company of Pierre-Philippe Chevigny.
Yes.
Now, what people don't understand is I have actually just gone through trying to work out how to make sure I got that right for you. So yeah, thank you for joining me on Hellblazer Biz. I really appreciate it, obviously, to talk about your new film, Rebel, your film short.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, man.
No, it's great. It's nice to meet you. And yeah, as I said, I've seen the film, so I'm really keen to talk to you about it because it was a powerful message that gets put across in it, to be fair.
Thanks.
No, you're welcome. I was just been talking. I find short films are great, and I'm going to ask you a question on this in a minute because I'll ask you the question now, actually, Pierre-Philippe. How difficult is it for you to write a short film as in get that story across into a short film?
It's the most difficult thing ever, man. It's like doing a short film is just, I think, is just as much work as doing a feature film. Mm-hmm. But then you have the challenge to be like really, really synthetic. It has to like have a beginning, middle, and end, and all make sense within 15 minutes. It's really super hard. And, you know, I've just finished writing my first feature, actually. And I actually think it was easier to write the feature than it was to write any of my shorts, because you have to condense so much in so little time, and to make it effective is really, really hard.
I've not made one, so yeah, I did think that would actually, yeah, that might be a good answer there. I guess, yeah, because with a feature, you like you say, spread the whole story out, you can get character development and stuff. But saying that, though, in the film that we've talked about, Rebel, it's basically you do have that character growth in there within, I think it's just over 10 minutes or just under 10 minutes there. And but the whole story does get put across very, very well. And there's the message, you're welcome. And the message is very, very strong as well. And it's very poignant for this time that we're in at the moment, I guess. I mean, obviously this is between Canada and the US, which is where this one's based. But obviously I know for myself in the UK, we've got exactly the same, because we've got people fleeing the channel from France over to the English channel, and people are trying to turn around and say, you know, send them back. And it's like, really?
Right. It's the same all over the world, right?
It is. It's everywhere. A terrible, terrible situation that people have got, that they have. My view on it is the fact that what situation were they in? How do they feel internally? In order to have to flee and risk your life, your family's lives,
right?
Just flee and just, you know, just to get away and just find and start that new life somewhere else, because that's not an easy decision, and it's not cheap either, because people getting ripped off, and that's one of the biggest crimes going. So, what was your inspiration for doing this story? That's a long way of asking that question.
Right. Well, you know, Rebel is a film about the rise of right-wing extremism in Quebec. Quebec is the French part of Canada, for those who don't know. And historically, Quebec has always been very left-leaning, always like only elected like center or left-wing government, which is unique in North America. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the only place where that takes place. But then for the past 5 years or so, there's been an increase in right-wing militia groups, which is something, again, we didn't have before. Something like the KKK in the States or the alt-right movement that didn't exist before here. But what happened is in 2017, when the U.S. Suspended a program called the TPS, Temporary Protected Status, which allowed like migrants to live and work in the U.S. while awaiting for their refugee status to be confirmed. Yeah. When they suspended that, it's created a panic within the migrant community in the U.S. And all of a sudden, people started fleeing the U.S. and tried to cross the border into Canada illegally to ask for refugee status here. Mm-hmm. And between 2017 and just about right before COVID hit, about 40,000 people crossed the border that way. Wow. And that has really ignited the fire of right-wing extremism. And we started like seeing these weird militia groups that would organize and train, you know, survivalist techniques in the wood and, you know, do demonstrations at the border and all that kind of stuff. And that was something we never seen before. Like that doesn't exist in Quebec. And I thought that was worrying. And like all of my short films are based on social issues. I will do like a lot of research, very broad research. And out of that, like research will, at one point I'll have just a spark of an idea for a fictional story. And that's when I'll start writing the story. And in that case with Rebel, no, it's the story of right-wing extremism, but told through the eyes of a 6 or 7 year old boy.
Yeah.
And that spark came from like after the very first big demonstration that these groups did in Quebec City. One of the newspapers had for its front page the picture of a 6 or 7 year old boy that was waving a flag with La Meute's logo on it, La Meute being the name of one of those militia groups. And I thought to myself, like, that kid doesn't understand the politics at all. He's just there because he's following his parents. And then, like, why would you even bring your child to a march against immigration? That that seemed like really, really absurd, but also fascinating in a way. And I thought it'd be interesting to tell the story of a kid that, you know, is being raised within that context, doesn't really have, you know, the maturity to understand the politics, but then we'll witness something that will trigger his understanding of what this is all about. And that's what Rebel is, basically.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's a very, that's a, kind of a just, nah, spoil it or not, because there's nothing to talk about. It's going to ruin it for everyone.
Right. And it's so short. I mean, it's 15 minutes. So if you say too much, like you're ruining the whole experience. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to say anything about that type of thing. But that moment and that symbolism, it's a very big symbol, you know, which comes towards the beginning and obviously at the end as well, which is where the rebel comes from. Without going into obviously the detail of it. And that to me is very, very important because it is very, I think it's quite scary. I didn't know that actually about Quebec. I will tell you about the right wing movement. I know we had it here. It seems to come up everywhere in the UK. And sadly, and I know there's probably some people who troll me for what I'm about to say. This is my view. It's not your view. It's just, this is my view. Certain president who we've just got rid of in America fueled it. Big smile. We've seen that. I mean, I think so many people agree with it anyway. But if anyone's out there like him, then that's your prerogative. That's fine. I'm not going to knock you for it. But in my view, he fueled a lot of it, and which by redacting that clause,
that's part of the context of the whole story,
exactly,
actually, because like that came from their administration. You know, suspending the TPS. That's what really created the whole migrant surge that. Once again, in Europe, you've had the migrant crisis for a few years now, but in Quebec, we didn't really have that experience. We were watching that from afar. And then all of a sudden, like people start fleeing and coming into the country. Of course, that's super destabilizing. You know, and just as much as I would like to welcome as many people as possible, you know, there are consequences to U.S. policies all over the world. And like being so close neighbors, like we're the first to have the effects of their decisions. So
exactly. I was going to say as well, because you can see that side of things, which is where you're trying to get across in the film as well. And you do is without obviously the right wing side of it, but there are economic situation, there are economic issues regarding like you said, from American policy and stuff that's caused economic issues because you've 40,000 people have moved coming into Quebec. Now it's a big place, but the economy's not, you know, it's fine. There's places they can settle and stuff, which is great. But
totally. It's
not a problem. You know, that's not a problem. But you can see where people are thinking, well, hang on a minute, it's going to wreck the economy. Because that's how I'll liken it to the UK, because that's what all the people, or not all the people, what the gammons we call them. They get hot headed about it all. They're the ones, you know, they're the same things. They're going to come here, they're going to take the jobs, they're going to ruin the economy. No, they don't actually. They actually work really damn hard when they get here because that's all they want to do is start a new family and a new life.
Exactly.
it's the impact, and that exactly where you just mentioned and talked about the impact of like a policy of another country. I'll not mention America again, but it is directly in this film. America is
totally. It's implicated for sure. That's part of what the story is about for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it pushes across and it damages other people, other countries, and it's not just other countries; it's those people, because you've got that family. One of many families, I will say. without ruining the film for you.
All right. Well, it's out there anyway, right? It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. So might as well just say it's about immigration. So
you've got the family in the woods who are running for their life, and you know, running to try and start this new life. And you've got, I really did see the beginning because I was quite taken aback, and then I realized that because I knew what the film was about, when you got the little boy, and you know, Alex, is it, 6 year old Alex, and he's playing happily at home with little G.I. Joe or whatever it is, and his dad comes across as a really loving guy, and which doesn't necessarily mean just because he's right wing, he's family bringing his family up, and then I got a glimpse of his tattoos there, and I was like, "Oh, hang on a minute, they look familiar to me." And that's what I was thinking. And then, you know, the hair like mine. I'll just say mine's not that way. Mine's because I really got bored last week with my hair, and I sat with scissors, and then it got too short, and I was like, "Oh no!"
Gotta clip it over, right?
So that's why mine. But yeah, you see that in the film in the short, and you start getting the picture of it because you can hear him on the phone talking, and poor little Alex is just playing happily, and you know. And going through there, and you've got that symbolism, which I'm not going to ruin it for people. We've got that symbolism there. He talks about, and his dad's contradicting him, and the words that came out of his mouth for that were very, very telling.
Yeah, of course, it doesn't make sense at first. You don't really know what this, especially if you don't know what the film's about at all.
Yeah.
Like if you read the you know what the storyline is, if you read the logline before, maybe it cues you in a little bit. But when I wrote the film, the idea was to have the audience not know anything about where this is going. So yeah, the idea was just to like turn this in a way into a suspense. Like you don't really know where this is going. It's really mysterious at first. And like I said, like the idea was to tell a story of a character who's oblivious to what's going on around him, who doesn't understand the politics, and then we'll see something that makes him understand. But I wanted the audience to feel the same thing as him.
Yeah,
that meaning like to be really oblivious to the context around him, and then little by little as the kid begins to understand, then the audience also begins to understand, which is why the film is shot the way it is.
Yeah.
Like at first it's all handheld cameras, and it's very long takes just focused on the boy, and like the militia groups are there, but they're in the background, they're out of focus, frame. If you're not really paying attention, you might not even notice them at some point. Like you're just watching and playing
in the woods.
But then the more the story progresses, the film becomes more edited, and we follow Alex's point of view, and we get to like see and look all around us, and then we understand at the same time as him. And if you go back and watch it again, then it all, like the opening scene, starts to make much more sense if you get the context of what's going on afterwards.
Yeah, of course, definitely, which is kind of probably where I thought it was, because to be fair, when I was watching, I wouldn't have thought, but you're right, the cinematography and the way you have filmed that is very, very clever, because you do follow Alex and seeing it through the eyes of a 6-year-old innocent boy who is experiencing it because he's just got nothing for love for his dad and his mum, and you grow the confusion in his eyes when he's and the comprehension when he's trying to comprehend what's happening, and especially when it's someone his own age as well. And I think that's the click moment for him when he's like, but you know what, you know, and you can really see that, because that's that moment where it hits Alex and he's like, hang on a minute. She's like me. What, you know?
Exactly.
And that's all kids are. I mean, I love that. There's that little meme, isn't there? I think it's the little two little kids together, and it says, "What's it? Racism's not. You're not born with being a racist. It's grown into you." And this film shows that exactly. And that's your point. Is how the
like nature versus nurture. Of course, like I don't think people are like fundamentally bad or evil or anything. If you grow up within that context, and actually that's one of the main inspiration. There was an open letter by a guy named Derek Black, who's like the son of a prominent like white supremacist mm-hmm. leader. And he wrote an open letter in the New York Times explaining why he left the movement, because like he was really involved with his father. He was like his right-hand man. He was doing mm-hmm. everything, all the work with him. And he felt growing up that it was just the right thing to do. And he truly believed that he was doing this because it's what was best for his family, like to protect his race or whatever, because yeah. he grew up within the movement. He never got to question it. But then he got into college and he met people from other cultural backgrounds, and he could not understand why they would fear him. Right. Because like he was never in a position to mm-hmm. ever get the chance to question the movement and reflect that it might be wrong, you know. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting to have that kind of perspective of someone who's like, you know, he grew up within the ideology, never got to question it, but maybe one day he'll get to question it, and then what happens? You know, that's kind of what Rebel's about, also.
Yeah, and the questioning of what happens—that's what is the most important thing. It's like, you know, if you look at World War II, for example, and obviously the big, you know, Hitler and stuff like that, it's not the fact that all these people followed him, it's what made them follow, and why weren't the question, you know, why, what made it so powerful that they didn't question why they followed and things. Mm-hmm. And it's just pure, the last 4 years, that's all I've ever seen on TV. It's like,
right.
Why aren't you questioning? Why can't you question? Why can't you question? What's coming out of someone's mouth? Why yeah. can't you question? That's not, well, obviously lots of people do, but it's mm-hmm. like, why is that? Why are people still being drawn to that? Why are you understand? Exactly. Why?
And that's also like one of the things when I was doing my research, you know, I was expecting people to be involved in those militia groups to be like neo-Nazi skinheads mm-hmm. or like really evil, stereotypical people, but that's yeah. not who they are at all. They're everyday normal people. Like I could recognize like my aunts and my uncles, and they're like soccer moms and, you know, mm-hmm. normal people just taking their kids along because they truly believe that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But then you get the question, like, just as you said, to your point, like who's believing that really? And why aren't you questioning it? Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's like, it's really, really a worrying sign, you know, to see that, you know, there are neo-Nazi skinheads marching against immigration, but you'd expect that. What you don't expect is everyday normal people to also follow those beliefs. And that's like the signal to me that something was wrong with like the state of our society, for sure.
Definitely. And again, a Rebel film shows that, because the people involved in it, they're not that way, you know. Then they're not, like you say, they're not all the fascist, you know, that, like, you stereotypical people. They're not at all. You've yeah. have got the mom there who's like, you know, nurturing and looking after the little children, and mm-hmm. and the other people there, they just you wouldn't expect it. Some of them maybe look a little bit, one or two, but not all, you know. They're just regular like you and me, and you mm-hmm. and that's what this hatred and this society is brought out of some people. It's not hate. It's not hate. It's the way they've just been brought up and listened to all the rhetoric mm-hmm. and listened to all of the.
Exactly. There's the problem of social media also, yeah. because that's a big chunk of what's happening also in the States with the alt-right movement, is that, you know, social media creates these echo chambers that you're only fed the opinions that you believe in. And usually, you know, the most radical opinions are the ones that get the most reaction. So algorithms mm-hmm. tend to put them forward, yeah. which is why, like, we're so polarized to each side of the far left and the far right. You know, that's a symptom of social media. And
it is.
It's not that surprising to be seeing like the context that we have now, because like our whole entire lives are revolved around social media now. So
mm-hmm. I think social media is probably one of, I mean, I'm saying it, I'm use it quite a lot every day, but I would it is the worst thing that's ever happened. It was originally, yeah. you know, I remember Friends Reunited, that's what it started as. And it was just to, you know, get back in touch with school friends. But then obviously all the Facebook and the Twitter and everything started then. And it is the worst thing possible. It really is, because it polarizes people. People just sit behind a keyboard mm-hmm. and things that are in their head that they would never, ever speak to you about in person. Yeah. They feel that they're protected because they've got this keyboard. And And again, the biggest keyboard warrior, thankfully gone now, from Twitter as well. Right. The one who polarized a lot of it was that, yeah. And the opinions which came out, and that spurred even more. You're right, it's a vitriol of hatred between, and it's not just that side. I was at both sides, like you just said. It's the left or the right.
Oh. Totally,
and there's just a massive, massive divide, which is hopefully, what we're trying to repair now.
We just like cool down a little bit and try to listen to each other, like for maybe just a few years now? Let's give that a shot.
Exactly. Even on social media, no matter what kind of comment you make or on what kind of thing you put on it, I know I'll delete it straight away, because if I put something on, and I'll know it's not controversial or anything like that, but I'll put something on, then all of a sudden I'll just get a torrent of abuse, and it's like,
right.
You know, just let someone have an opinion. Obviously, as long as it's not a radical, really, really radical one. It's
offensive or anything.
No, nothing. It's not offensive opinions or anything like that, but it's just an opinion. So I think the Star Wars prequels, I didn't like, something like that. But then even that has turned into something now where it's just like, it's a nightmare.
It's toxic.
It is very, very toxic. And that's your film, which I'm going to bring it back to again. Obviously, Fierce Rebel does bring that out, and it brings out that the naivety, and it shows the importance of what we do and how we bring up our children, because our children are the future, and it's our children are the ones who are going to stop this and are going to bring that divide, that, sort of reach that gap that we've got.
Exactly. Like if there's a message, I don't think there's a message per se, but I think the film kind of ends on a very hopeful note, because like you said, it's kind of like putting faith in the next generation's ability to solve this mess.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think, like, without spoiling anything, but for sure, I would like to think that the way Alex reacted has influenced his father also, because like his father is obviously very aware that his son was affected by what he witnessed. Yeah. And so you'd like him to maybe challenge his own beliefs just from seeing the example of his own son. And that's what like the last frame of the film kind of hints at. But then again, like, it's up to interpretation. And if you want to believe that maybe the father scolded the son afterwards, that's possible also. But I like the more hopeful interpretation for sure.
Definitely. Exactly. And because it draws you right back to the beginning, and that's that, which you say, that there is that message and there is that symbol, and it's a symbol of hope. That's how I saw the film, and that's how I saw the end of it. It was a symbol of hope. In the fact that Alex is that generation now, like exactly like you just said, he can change it for himself, but he can also change those around him and who love him by trying to show them what's right and why certain things should be, why you can do, for example, why 40,000 refugees can come into Quebec and they can live, perfectly happily, and they won't bring the economy down of Canada for that. And that you need to have them refuge. Because, again, I'm going to go back to how fearful they were that just America, the land of the free, allegedly, is one rule of a TWS thing being taken away. Scared that many people that they feared for their lives in America. Okay. Where they'd gone because they wanted to build this new free life for themselves, but they feared because of that right wing side of things, social media, I would say it was probably exactly what we just said, has built all that up. So they were so scared because of what's being said, what's going around, and the propaganda was the word I'm trying to look for, that kind of thing. And they felt they had to run from there. And it's reminiscent of Europe now with the UK, it's reminiscent of, oh, how long are we now? 80 years ago, is it now? So, that's bad. See, 80 years ago, World War II now, of the Jewish people having to flee Germany, and Polish people and gypsies and artists fleeing Germany at that time, because
we haven't learned anything from history.
Exactly. That's what, people say that you should learn from history, but then they know, but they never do. We just repeat the same cycles over and over again. So, Rebel, Alex in Rebel. He's the future, because my son, my 14-year-old, he's the future. They're the ones who we've got to change it. We change our views for them to change their views, and then that can make the world and stop
for sure. That's what the film's about. Also, like, for sure, I'm much more progressive and open minded. Like, and especially like Quebec is, there's another degree of complexity because of the linguistic situation here and the nationalist movement in Quebec. Like, this is pretty consensual amongst Quebecers that if we don't protect our language, our culture might disappear, you know? So there's that level of complexity also. So how like to accommodate like immigration without like having it be like a threat to your cultural identity, because we're such a minority in this ocean of like English speakers in North America. So it makes everything much more difficult. So yeah, for sure. But like my parents, they were brought up like in this very nationalist, you know, context in the 60s and 70s. And so they have a perspective towards immigration, which is somewhat more, you know, scared than maybe I am. I'm much more open-minded and progressive towards immigration, and I'm sure that my kids will also be much more open-minded and progressive. So then again, that's what the film says, like one generation after the other, we can fix those issues. And it might take like a couple more generations for it to be really behind us, but I think that's the horizon in front of us for sure.
Definitely. Excellent. Yeah. I can But you're right, because I think a few generations and we'll have it sorted. But it's a very powerful message. And I did enjoy the film. Enjoy as much as you can. Watching a film like that. So.
It's not especially a super pleasant and fun experience, I think. But I'm happy when like it made people think that. That's the bottom line. That's what I hope the film achieves.
Exactly, and that's where I'm. I love a film that makes me think, and I've watched that one. It's a very good one for making you think and realize, and especially when you think about twists. No, you're welcome. And before I wrap this up, Pierre, is there anything you would like to say for people who are watching or listening? I'll say I apologize for wrapping it up so soon. I'm loving chatting to you, but.
Sure, no problem. You can go ahead and watch Rebel. It's pretty much available everywhere, free. It's on YouTube. It's on Vimeo. It's on Short of the Week. If you're in a French-speaking European country like France or Belgium, it's on Arte. So it's pretty much everywhere. If you're in Eastern Europe, it's on HBO Europe as well. So everywhere you can just Google it, Rebel, and you'll find it. Go ahead and watch it, share it.